95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. Today's guest is a longtime lifestyle columnist and reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Elizabeth Wellington writes about race, gender, fashion, pop culture, and wellness. Her award-winning writing has led her to tackling her very first novel. In the meantime, Elizabeth is also focusing on her new venture, Mindful Presence, a gift box she calls Yoga in a Box. And Elizabeth is joining me today to share her story. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, everybody. How's it going?
Thank you so much for coming on with me today.
Thank you for having me.
So you're originally from Queens, New York. How did you end up here in Philadelphia?
Well, I went to NYU, where I majored in journalism. And when I was there, I applied for an internship with the National Association of Black Journalists. Shout out to NABJ and PABJ right now. And I interned with them. They sent me to Portland. I worked in Portland, Oregon for 3 months. Then after Portland, I applied for an internship in Raleigh, North Carolina. I worked in North Carolina for a summer. They offered me a job after graduation. I worked there for 8 years, and then I applied for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Oh, while I was there, I became the fashion writer, and that was sort of during, like, the Sex and the City movement, though everything was fashion and everything was fabulous and everything was fly. And then I applied for a job at the Philadelphia Inquirer. It was kind of around then after 9/11. And I wanted to be closer to home and closer to my family, but I still wanted folks to call before they came. So I took a job at the Philadelphia Inquirer, where I have been ever since. And this is going to be my 20th year, and I can't believe it because I must have started when I was 12.
Oh my gosh, 20 years?
Yes, I have been a journalist for almost 30 years. I can't believe it.
But you've been at the Philadelphia Inquirer. You're working
on 20 years.
For your 20th year. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And so when you came from the other jobs, when you got to the Inquirer, were you reporting on fashion?
Yeah. It was still a big time with fashion. There was lots of women's boutiques, and there were lots of fashion shows, and everybody cared about red carpet and runway. And, you know, we didn't know it then, but it was like a happy time. There were lots of indie labels and small labels and big labels. And I kind of got into retail, you know, just understanding retail, covering retail. I met a lot of women at local boutiques that I've now, you know, after 20 years, we're kind of friends. You know, I watched the rise of Twitter. I watched the rise of Instagram. I watched the rise of iPhone, and all of that impacted fashion and what we wear and how I cover it. I've been to Paris for Fashion Week. I've been to L.A. when there was like the big L.A. Juicy Couture movement. And so I kind of seen it all. And now it's kind of coming back full circle. A friend of mine was watching the SAG Awards, texted me and was like, girl, is this the year of the plunging neckline? And my response was, every year is the year of the plunging neckline. Because I've just seen all of these trends come and go back and forth for like years. But now we've been pretty stuck in yoga pants. And I'm not sure how long that's going to last, but...
Okay, so you don't have a fashion background. Your background is strictly journalism, and you just got into writing and researching about fashion.
Yeah, my fashion background just came from watching people. I got lucky. At the time I was covering fashion, fashion was being democratized. So you didn't really have to know who the ins and outs about why Chanel was important. I mean, now I do. Now I know, you know, she introduced, you know, the drop waist and got rid of the corset. And, you know, you didn't have to know who Mambo Cher was or why Claire McCardell is an important fashion figure. But you needed to kind of know where fashion was pulling from. And I was really up on pop culture, and I was really up on hip hop. So when I started covering fashion, that was right around the time Fat Farm or Baby Fat was on the runway. So, I mean, I lived it. I knew what was going on. I was watching it. So I was really able to pull from pop culture. Now you may not ask me because, you know, when I see Migos, Versace, 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 I want to cringe. But I was young then, so I kind of kept up with everything that was going on. And, you know, I knew what was happening. So it was a very natural fit.
Have you seen House of Gucci?
Not yet. You know, sometimes I don't watch some of these documentaries because it feels a lot like work, but that's on my list of things to watch because I think I hear Lady Gaga looks a lot like the woman from Gucci, so I really do want to take a look at it. Did you see it?
I did. It was a good movie, and I was not mm-hmm. familiar with How Crazy the Wife Was, so mm-hmm. I was very interested to see it and, you know, how it all played out.
Mm-hmm.
So you write about fashion. You still write about fashion for The Inquirer, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I write about fashion. I mean, the last 2 years, everybody's feet got tossed up in the air. So, I mean, I write about fashion, but I also write about wellness now, which I have an interest in even a little bit much more than fashion. I write about race, especially as we were impacted from what happened with George Floyd, inequality. like right now I'm writing a theater story. I'm writing a story about how a lot of the roles that were traditionally played by white actors are now being given to black ones, sort of in a colorblind, color conscious way. I'll leave it up to the reader to decide where they fall on that. So it's hard to say. I kind of consider myself the, because I still write a column too, and I comment on pop culture. I'm watching Bel Air. I don't know if any of you guys are watching that, but I'm going to write a column about that. I kind of consider myself sort of a generalist columnist, you know, that writes about women's issues and social issues that we see in pop culture every day.
What you're writing, is it fairly lighthearted?
Sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. I mean, fashion is not lighthearted. Even when I was writing fashion all the time, fashion is not lighthearted. I wrote a lot of stories about politics and fashion that, you know, almost got me strung up. It was really tough because, you know, I would write stories about how Michelle Obama was wearing American designers and people would clap back and say, well, you know, she's still wearing expensive clothing. I would write pieces critiquing what Melania Trump was wearing and people would say that, you know, I just didn't like her because she was Trump's wife. So, I mean, what we wear really says about who we are. So I'm not the fashion writer that wrote about like fashion dum-dum talk, which I like to call it. Like, oh, you know, everybody looks fabulous. You know, I really tried to write about how we represent ourselves and how we see ourselves in our clothing and how our clothing represents where we are in the world in this particular moment and what we want to say about ourselves, whether we ascribe ourselves to be fashionistas or not. A lot of what fashionistas do isn't really that interesting, really. But how we dress when we're trying to say something about who we are, whether we're going to be at a TED Talk or whether we're going to talk about XYZ. I mean, to me, that's really interesting. And sort of how fashion came to be and how women's history plays a really good, big role in what's in the clothes that we're wearing now.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you watched Instagram come about and how it became so popular. And So what do you think of the Instagram influencers? I mean, I know influencers technically existed prior to that in a different way, but how do you feel about these influencers and people who have made, I mean, full-blown careers showing their fashion and showing other people how to dress by posting pictures on Instagram?
You know, I say more power to them. Instagram is a self-marketing tool, and it's a medium, and if we don't use it, like, I have to, you know, I'm going to figure out how to maximize Instagram for my own projects to brand myself outside of the Inquirer. But we have to be clear that what they do is not journalism. Because they're being paid for, like, if Gucci pays you to wear a jacket and show people how to wear it, then that's not journalism, that's advertising. So we just have to be clear about what the difference is. But I think that Instagram itself has done a lot because it's democratized fashion, right? It's made a lot of these brands that were only, I mean, not only could you not buy the brands, but if you weren't of a certain class, you couldn't even read about them. You couldn't even go into the stores and purchase them. You know, black people, you know, couldn't even walk into better department stores up until like the mid 20th century and say, I want to buy this dress. You know what I mean? So what Instagram does is it democratizes fashion. Anybody with a phone and internet can now see what's trending. And you don't have to have a subscription to Vogue. You don't have to read the New York Times. And you can see how your own friends, like, you know, how Anna Wintour wears her Gucci is so different from how Rihanna would wear her Gucci. And you can see how it connects with people, how the same brand can connect with people in different ways.
Speaking of Instagram, what are your Instagram accounts and how can people find you and follow you?
Oh, I should be better on Instagram. You're going to make me better with this. But I post once a month or something, but I'm going to be posting more. But my Instagram account is ewellingtonphl. So it's ewellingtonphl. And that's the same as my Twitter account, ewellingtonphl.
Talk about some of the things that you have written. What's one of the most memorable pieces you wrote?
I wrote a piece. I mean, I think it changes every year, but this year, the Inquirer, and you can still find the stories, actually, as a response to what was happening with George Floyd and Black Lives. We did a project called Wildest Dreams, and all the Black journalists got together and started writing about Black joy as it relates to us, our ancestors, and the people that came after us. So for that project, I wrote a piece about my own family, my mother's side of the family, who were white passing, but chose blackness as a way of joy. And that's one of the most powerful pieces I have written, because it was about, like, I had to do, it was kind of about me. It was a personal essay. I had done a genealogy project before. I'm still not finished it. I believe I do have some family here in Abington that I'm still need to catch up with. But that was kind of like one of the most memorable pieces I've done. I've interviewed designers, the late Oscar de la Renta before he died. I talked to Diane von Furstenberg. I had a really cool interview with Gabrielle Union once. I have yet to interview New Edition. I tried before the concert, but they were too booked up, and that's my all-time favorite group, and I went to the concert. Any for life out there, people? That's on my bucket list. I think once I interview them, it'll be like, who needs this job anymore? But every story is really interesting because you end up learning a lot, and it's like putting together a puzzle that, you know, you were tasked with putting together. But you can put the puzzle together in many different ways. But the way I put the puzzle together is kind of like the way I see the world. And it lets me, you know, look at the world through my own lens.
What do you have coming up? What should we look out for as far as pieces that you're writing?
I'm writing a piece right now about theater, as we talked to earlier. It's about theater and kind of to open up the scope of how people see black actors and black people in this country for big kind of plays. I'm writing a piece about our fascination with reboots, whether it's The Fresh Prince or the Roseanne reboot or The Wonder Years, but kind of like how television is sort of taking us back to a place of nostalgia. There's a woman named Tracy Higgins Gidget, and she's written a book about black joy. She's at CCP, so it's in the Community College of Philadelphia. So I'm writing a piece on her. If you guys haven't had a chance to go see it yet, I think nobody's seen it because it hasn't been open, but the swim exhibit at the Waterworks is going to reopen, and I'd written a big piece about them, but they were then destroyed by the last hurricane, the entire highway underwater, 76. So I'm kind of writing a piece about that. And I'm also looking at retail. I'm going to look at a piece about sort of how retail has been impacted by the pandemic, and now that things are starting to open, what will our downtown retail scene look like? So if you have any ideas and tips, feel free to reach out.
If people want to read your articles, what's the best way for them to find them? Just pick up the Enquirer?
Yeah, I mean, you could pick up the Enquirer, but you can go on Enquirer.com. I tweet all my articles and also post them on Facebook. If you're just feeling Elizabeth Wellington friendly and you just want to read my stuff, if you follow me on Twitter, usually I tweet them out that way. But if you go to Enquirer.com, all the writers have their own pages. And if you plug our name in the search engine, you can find them and, you know, you can check them out.
Tell me about your novel and when you think it's going to be available.
Well, I can't tell you about that yet.
Okay.
All right. It's a project that I am working on, and it's chick lit. I can say that it's chick lit, and it's something that I'm working on. And you know, there's a novel in every journalist, and hopefully mine will see the light of day.
You won awards from the National Association of Black Journalists, Keystone Press, and the Society of Professional Journalists. Was there a specific article that won you these awards?
No, it was a series of awards. But I did find out this morning, and I need to give a shout out to PABJ, that the Philadelphia Association of Black Journalists is recognizing me as a trailblazing woman, the woman who is carrying the torch. So I'm really excited, myself and another woman, Kadia Kerner. She's the executive director of the New Pennsylvania Project, will be receiving the award. And my old boss, Sandy Clark, will be giving the keynote speech. So that's my latest award, and I'm very proud of that.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, in addition to writing for the Philadelphia Inquirer, you have your own small business, Mindful Presence.
Yeah, I'm kind of into wellness. It's really new, so I guess this is sort of like my coming out moment. It's a box of products, candles. There is sage, some crystals. It's kind of like yoga in a box. That's how I kind of market it. Actually, at the last event, I kind of sold out, and so I don't have any boxes right now. But we will be launching the new box, Grace, in the spring. The website is mindful-presence.com, so you can check it out. I'm going to be doing a newsletter. Probably by spring, April, we'll have new products, and, you know, hopefully you'd be interested in checking it out. A lot of, you know, kind of what I'm doing now is, like, I enjoy my work as a journalist, but I also kind of want to brand myself beyond journalism into, you know, sort of lifestyle writing. Like, all the things. I want to do all the things for all the people. And understanding pop culture and just kind of understanding where people are has sort of helped me build my passion and things that I want to do. So a lot of the stuff is new, although I've been a journalist for 20 years. a lot of the stuff is still kind of new to me. So I really appreciate you having me on the show. So just kind of let me freestyle about myself.
Well, I have one of the boxes and it's great. So it comes with a candle, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Mine mm-hmm. had sage in it. It has the crystals. Mm-hmm. But what I also loved, and this maybe, you know, is something little for people listening, but for me, I really enjoyed it. It comes with the cards that mm-hmm. basically explain what you should be doing, explains mindfulness and how you should relax and how it's beneficial for your wellness.
Yeah, and that's like the biggest thing. I know as a journalist, I'm probably one of the most anxious people you've ever met. I went to swim this morning and I kept thinking about all the things I needed to do with how, and you know, I made myself do it so I could take the deep breaths. And so I hope that this box is sort of a gift to yourself. You can use it as a gift for others. There's no pressure. There's no stress. You can, you know, light the candle while you're taking yoga at home. You can hold the crystal while you're meditating. You can burn sage. I've been burning under my doorway, hoping that Idris Elba will walk through one day. It's kind of like helping you manifest the things that you really want in your life. And now is the time to be thinking about that. I hope to be working with other local people.
I hope so, too.
with different ideas, you know, perhaps we'll do bracelets or we'll do a sketch that can be colored in. So I've got some ideas because it's really new, but I'm hoping that, you know, this could sort of be my gift or my present for Philadelphia.
A sketch that can be colored in, like, are you talking about an adult coloring book?
Yes, like adult coloring. You know, we'll do a candle or you can color in, you know, a rainbow or you can color in. You know, I have to figure out how all that works. You know, it's like you got to figure out how to get all the stuff wholesale and you got to figure out how you're going to get, you know, are you going to provide color pencils? I love color pencils. I think everybody should have color pencils. You know, you're going to like do a couple, like four or five, you know, things like that.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that would definitely attract me back to another box because mm-hmm. I love coloring. Like even when my son was little and he was coloring, like I would do one page and he would do one page. For me as an adult, I still find satisfaction in coloring.
I love to color. I color with my nieces and nephews all the time. I am a big advocate of coloring.
Now, Mother's Day is coming up and I think that this would be a perfect gift for moms who need a little relaxation.
Yeah, I got to kick myself in the booty to make myself working. But yeah, I think it's a good gift for mothers. I think it's, you know, it's Easter's coming. Lots of spring holidays that this is good for.
Absolutely. And I think what we've learned over the past 2 years is maybe a little wellness, a little mindfulness, a little mm-hmm. relaxation for ourselves is not going to hurt.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Definitely.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun. I really appreciate it. I hope to come back again.
To read Elizabeth Wellington's articles, go to inquirer.com. And to find out more about the Mindful Presence gift boxes, go to her website, mindful-presence.com. If you missed any part of today's interview, it will be available on our website tomorrow morning. Go to 957benfm.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see shows. Just click her story, and all of my interviews are listed right there. And if you think you know someone who would be a good fit for our show, I would love to hear about them. You can send me an email, herstory@957benfm.com. Thank you so much for joining me today and every Sunday. I'm Kathy Romano. Have a great rest of your weekend.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.